Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised. Hey guys,
we're chaotic today.
Silly, goofy moods.
It's one of them.
It's one of those. The change of seasons means the change of hair, and your hair might be feeling dry right now.
Well, and because there's two things that go into having healthy hair, all right? There's protein and there's moisture. And you gotta have both to have healthy hair, but protein displaces moisture. And moisture displaces protein. So, you kind of have to walk a fine line.
If your hair's just really limp.
If your hair is just doesn't want to do anything.
Yes.
I feel like.
Just kind of blah. Probably feeling dry.
Probably have what you like to call frizz.
Yes. And shedding. More shedding than what you normally use.
A lot of split ends, that right. Kind of thing.
A lot of people's first guess is to always go to a moisture mask, which if you can moisturize your hair all day long, but if your hair is missing the protein, then
it's
you're
not going to be able to hold that moisture.
Right.
Either.
The moisture is not going to do anything. You can over-protein your hair.
Yeah. And that will make it brittle and break.
So it's weird because the symptoms of over-proteined hair is the same as under-proteined hair. But you don't need to use protein products every time. That's like a once a month thing, you think?
Yeah.
A little bit more often if you're like blonde, maybe.
And so here's my thing. So for somebody with super porous hair, instead of recommending, say, like a moisture mask or something, I always recommend an oil, adding an oil into your routine.
Yes.
That's going to help. So it kind of just depends on the type of hair that you have, I feel. But yeah, so it's kind of hard to diagnose people, you know, without seeing. But
right.
The general rule of thumb would be, if you've got a lot of frizzies and such, I would maybe do a double whammy. I would do a protein and then a moisture pack.
Yes. My favorite protein treatment to get, it sounds really gross, but it's super cheap at Sally's, is the henna placenta mask.
Oh, yeah. And cholesterol.
I didn't even think about cholesterol. That's a good one. So if you are hydrating your hair and you're putting moisture products on your hair, and you still don't feel like that's helping, then you probably need to add a little protein to your regimen.
You can also do something like a keratin treatment on your hair if it's real bad. They tend to be on a little bit on the pricier side, but the thing about a keratin treatment is that if you maintain it like you're supposed to, it'll last for months and months and months, like 6 months.
And I think a lot of people think keratin treatments are for like more thick hair.
No.
And I had a client just the other day that's got baby super fine hair, but she has some frizzies and some breakage. Immediately be like, are we doing my keratin today too? Like she.
Oh, yeah.
People love it. So if your hair is just limp and blah and it's not holding curl, it's not really doing anything for you, try a protein treatment.
And if you're unsure of what to do, talk to your hairstylist.
Trigger warning, this episode contains graphic crime.
All right, Randolin, what are you telling us about today?
Today, we're going to talk about Colleen Slimmer. Colleen was born on September 20th, 1975. Colleen's parents would divorce, and she's going to move to Florida, where her mom remarries, and she has a good home life. Colleen was kind, empathetic, and she also happened to have some learning disabilities. But she was the kind of girl who was so protective of, like, other kids with disabilities. Like, she was the first to stand up for somebody, you know, in the line of fire, basically. She did end up having to drop out of high school. She just fell a little too far behind. And I think she got really discouraged. And so then she dropped out, which, I mean, you know, back in the day, it wasn't quite as focused on.
They didn't have the same programs.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, she did fall a little far behind. And, yeah, she did drop out. But that didn't stop her from pursuing a productive life. She went out and she was working minimum wage jobs, basically. And she wasn't super happy with that. She decided that she wanted to go back to school. And so she went to the Job Corps, which, if y'all are unaware, the Job Corps back in the day was basically a government-run program that would help kids get their GED, get a college degree, that kind of thing. Not necessarily, like, you didn't have to go through them to get your GED to be in the program, but if you needed the GED to go to a college, they would help you get your GED.
They would give you the resources.
Right. To get there. Okay. So it's a government agency. It helps people. And then after you're done with your GED, they're going to go place you in a career program where you're going to earn like a bachelor's degree.
Okay. Yeah.
Or a trade.
Or a trade. Oh, okay.
Which is what Colleen decided to do, was sign up for the computer sciences program. So she does this because she's it's picking up and she wants to get in on this industry. It seems like a good job. It seems like something she'd be good at. I mean, it's pretty black and white. You do this and it does this. You know?
And at that point, computers were still the future to them.
Exactly.
Like, we're recording this on a computer right now. But back then, number one, not a lot of females were probably in that industry. So that's really cool of her. But then they just didn't have the same access as we did. So that's different. That's cool. That's something really different to do.
And speaking of access, so they didn't offer that program in Florida. So Colleen had to move to Tennessee, specifically to the University of Tennessee campus, where the Job Corps program was run, and they had dorms and stuff there. And when Colleen gets there, she's a little surprised at the state of the campus that they're on, the part of the campus that they're on. And there's like a lot of, there's a very obvious lack of structure with the program. And I'm thinking that it was probably a little more structured in Florida. And then when she got up here, it was a little more of a free-for-all. And I think it scared her a little bit. Colleen unfortunately gains the attention of Krista Pike. Krista is a fellow student. And then the harassment begins. One night, Colleen wakes up to Krista standing over her with a box cutter. Like, basically threatening her. And then Colleen finds out that Krista believes that Colleen is trying to steal Krista's boyfriend to Daryl. Okay.
Was Colleen living on campus? Was she living
like they're in all the dorms? Living in the dorms at the Job Corps. Okay. Let's go a little bit into Miss Krista Pike. Krista was not as fortunate as Colleen when it came to upbringing. Okay. Krista, I literally have in my notes, Krista was a walking nightmare by the time she got to Knoxville Job Corps.
That's actually a verbatim quote.
Yep. Krista was horribly neglected by her parents. And now, listen, we can feel bad for the child, but she truly grows up to be a fucking monster. Grieve her childhood for her, but my God.
Yes, people have bad childhoods and don't turn out to be bad people all the time.
Oh, just wait.
Oh, no.
She's neglected by her parents and guardians and abused sexually at a very young age. She was born March 10th, 1976 in West Virginia. She lived with her maternal grandmother when she was little after her parents gave her up. Her grandmother would abuse her by beating her and locking her in a closet. So, this grandmother was like a raging alcoholic. She would beat the shit out of Krista. She would lock her in a closet multiple times when she just didn't want to deal with her. It was not good. And so eventually she would get passed to her paternal grandmother, who did actually love and care for her, but died of cancer shortly after she was put in her custody.
So the only people that she's ever been able to trust in her life have abused her or passed away.
Exactly. Like I said, she was sexually abused several times. She was into drinking and drugs by the age of 11. She attempted suicide by OD at the age of 12. She's raped multiple times, including by a neighbor and by a stranger who just found her in the street. At age 13, her father catches her sexually abusing her 2-year-old half-sister, and he bans her from the house. She has a live-in boyfriend by the age of 14 who would beat her with a belt. The police are called, but Krista won't ever press charges. Like, other people see him beating her, call the police. She won't press charges.
That shouldn't even be an option.
Of course, Krista drops out of high school. No shocker there. Ends up at Knoxville Job Corps Computer Sciences Program at the age of 18. Meets 17-year-old Tadaryl, a fellow classmate, and they begin dating. Tadaryl is into a brand of quote-unquote Satanism of his own design. Now we're all at Job Corps. And Krista begins to harass Colleen. She fully believes that Colleen is trying to steal Tadaryl from her. She becomes absolutely obsessed with Colleen. She starts stalking her. Colleen told multiple people she absolutely did not want anything to do with Tadaryl. And she didn't know what Krista's problem was. Like, literally, Colleen does not know why Krista decided that Colleen wanted Tadaryl. Because Colleen's like, I did not want him at all. Colleen does eventually seek help from Job Corps staff. They just dismiss her. They're like, oh, well, it's fine. It'll get better. She calls her mom and she wants to come home. And her mom's, oh, no, Colleen, you gotta just stick it out, baby. Like, it'll get better. It'll be fine. It's only a 6-month commitment, right?
Yeah, but I woke up with this bitch over me with a box cutter.
Well, huh? Here's the thing is, I don't think that anybody realized how, severe
yeah.
that these threats were. You know, because I'm sure Colleen's scared to death. She's also embarrassed. She probably doesn't want to tell people the extent of what's happening.
Right.
And
I'm looking at pictures. Tadaryl is nothing to fight over.
No!
He is. There is nothing special about this man whatsoever. Nothing.
Colleen does go home and she spends Christmas break with her dad in Pennsylvania and is feeling more opportunistic, more optimistic, more, okay, I can do this. This is only a couple more months. Like, she's had a break. She's ready to come back and finish this shit. Krista approaches Colleen saying she wants to put everything behind them. She's, let's go smoke and watch a movie and chill. And she's thinking, over Krista's break, Krista must have had a change of heart. Great. Colleen is, like, super relieved. She's, yes, let's go. Let's have, like, girls' night. Let's do this.
This is what yes. I've been waiting on.
She's like,
on.
Fuck, yes, yeah. Finally. The day before, Krista has told another classmate named Kim that she wanted to kill Colleen because I just feel mean today.
I mean, I do too, but...
Bitch, I feel mean every fucking
yeah,
day.
Yeah, like I've never been like, today's the day I kill someone.
So on January 12th, Kim saw Krista, Colleen, and Tadaryl and another student, Shandola, leave the dorm. The group later returns around 10 p.m. without Colleen. So the other three come back and Colleen's not with them. Okay? The entire group signed out of the logbook. And Colleen was the only one who never signed back in. This, like, literally. This is written down in the logbook for the Job Corps.
Which really seems if someone was going to go missing while you were with them.
Again, these kids are not the brightest bulbs in the box. Okay.
Yeah.
11 p.m., Krista tells Kim she just killed Colleen.
Okay, Kim. So...
pulls out a piece of Colleen's skull from her pocket to show off.
Okay, Kim. Sweetie.
Well, imagine you're Kim. Krista's sitting there talking her usual shit. I'm gonna kill her. I'm gonna kill her. I'm gonna kill her. And then pulls out a piece of bone and says... this is her skull. I killed her.
Yeah, Kim, we take that seriously.
Well, would you not be fucking terrified?
Yes. Yes.
Bitch, are you about to kill me? And then she's like proud. She's like telling Kim everything that happened. Crystal also tells another student named Stephanie what she's done, pointing out the bloodstains on her shoes as proof.
Okay, this is not cool, Krista. This doesn't make you cool to anyone, and I don't understand how anyone would think. I don't know anybody in my life that would come to me and brag about a murder and think it would impress me.
The next day, January 13th, University of Tennessee staff, because again, this is on the UT campus, spotted what they thought was a mutilated animal near the university greenhouse. 8 a.m., the police arrive and find Colleen's body. Colleen is reportedly naked from the waist up. Trauma is so severe that the responding officer isn't sure if she's face up or face down.
Oh my God.
Medical examiner is only able to record the most severe wounds because of the sheer volume of trauma. The crime scene that they rope off consumes over 6,000 square feet and includes footprints, knee marks, pools, and splatters of blood and viscera, and Colleen's shirt and bra. Cause of death is blunt force trauma to the head. The back of her head has been bashed in with a piece of asphalt, which left residue and debris in the wound and is how Krista got a piece of Colleen's skull. There's a pentagram carved in Colleen's chest. And here's the thing. Krista keeps coming by the crime scene.
Krista is a fucking idiot.
She's wild, man. We've not even got to the peak of Krista yet. She keeps coming by the crime scene and she's, "What you guys find? What's that? What's over there?" And the police notice that she has on a pentagram necklace.
I can imagine all the cops like whispering to each other, being like,
So who are you going to arrest this one?
Or right. Like, this seems.
Krista keeps asking if there's any suspects. Do you guys have any suspects? So the police are like, "Yeah, you bitch." They interrogate Krista and she's like, "Yeah, I did it." Krista tries to paint Colleen as the aggressor. Krista says that she wanted to fight Colleen to get her off her back, to stop her from running her mouth all the time. So essentially, she's projecting everything that she's done onto Colleen. And then police find the skull fragment in her jacket pocket.
She's just walking around with it?
Yeah, and in the same shoes. Krista is like giddy as shit while she's confessing. She's, "Yeah, sure did. Did it. It was so fun." She confesses that she lures Colleen out with the fake apology. They attack her and make her take off her shirt and her bra. Tadaro kicked Colleen and Shadola held her down while Christine attacked her. Colleen pleaded with Krista to let her go so she could just go back to Florida. She'd never come back. She'd never even look at Tadaro again. "Let me just go home. I'll go to Florida and I'll never come back to Tennessee, I swear."
Which was the easiest option here because Colleen's not from Tennessee. The only thing holding her to Tennessee is a couple months left in this program. So if Krista would have just left her alone and they finished this program,
she would have went back to
Florida. Right. Colleen would have been gone and she never had to see her again.
Well, Krista told her to shut up because it's harder to hurt someone when they're talking to you. And at one point, Krista lets her get up and goes, "Run." And then lets her run and then goes and tackles her and carves the pentagram in her chest.
This was fun to Krista. Like, this was a game to Krista. She's
playing cat and mouse with this poor girl. She tortured Colleen for 45 minutes before she killed her. Krista also described the gurgling sound that Colleen made while she was dying and her body's movements. Like, she was acting out the twitches that her body made as she was dying. Like, showing the cops. She was like this. So then, of course, the police are like, "Holy shit." And they go back and they search her dorm room and they find the jeans absolutely drenched in Colleen's blood in her dorm room. And Krista told them where she dumped evidence, including like Colleen's ID, like her pocket contents, that kind of thing.
So this other woman, how did she get involved with them? Like, how Shadola was her name?
She's one of the Barrel's friends.
How did they get her to go along with this?
These are some sick fucks. Like I don't know how they always find each other.
Like, I don't, I can't imagine, because 45 minutes is so long, and she sat there for 45 minutes and watched, and probably at some point
she participated. She was kicking the shit out of her.
That's what I started saying. Some capacity would have participated. So I just can't imagine
how. So then, of course, they're all taken into custody, and psychiatrists evaluate Krista pre-trial. And finds her competent to stand trial, but does note that Crystal's frontal lobe is not properly developed, like, at all. Which, yeah.
Like, her reasoning skills and understanding of consequences is nil.
Well, and it's come to find out she's basically an alcohol baby.
Oh, okay.
So, her mom did the whole nine yards while she was pregnant with Kristen. That's probably why. She goes through trial. She's, yeah, sure did it. And she is the youngest woman to be sentenced to death in Tennessee, death by electric chair. Tadarrell is sentenced to life in prison, and Shadola takes a plea deal and receives only probation. She basically spilled the bean, you know?
Yeah, I'm in such a gray area on stuff like that, because it really looks like they had the evidence and the confession that they needed from Krista for everything. And yeah, she wasn't the one that killed her, but she was in on it. So I just feel like that should be a little bit more. It
seems like a cop out,
right? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, at least spent 5 years in prison.
Right. But just to get like only probation, that's nothing.
Yeah.
That's not even house arrest. Like, at least give her a house arrest.
Well, on 2004, while on death row, Krista attempts to strangle a fellow inmate named Patricia Jones and then confesses to that on a prison call with her mom.
Sometimes the best criminals are the dumbest ones.
Oh, and after she gets him, she's writing letters to Daryl, like, I still love you.
And I don't think that's allowed.
Yeah.
And they read the mail.
I know. And then in 2012, Krista attempts to escape prison with the help of another inmate and a corrections officer, but they fail.
You don't say. I am so shocked that she failed this prison escape attempt.
She's never charged in relation to this.
But they were like, it's fine. They were like,
bitch, can we just kill her already?
She's on death row. It's fine.
She's still on death row to this day.
Really?
Yeah. They ain't killed her yet.
I wonder if it's because she's going through. Why does that take so long?
I
know the appeal process takes a long time, but I don't know. I'm weird.
I don't know.
I'm weird on the death penalty in some cases, but not in this one. Not in this one at all.
Because, I mean, like, what she did. And, y'all, I glossed over a lot of these crime scene details because it's rough. That is rough. And what they did to poor Colleen is, I think they should have killed Daryl too. But that's just me.
Yeah, I know this case. He was not, and that's why I was saying neither was their friend. The friend was not innocent in this. You know who was innocent? Poor Colleen.
Exactly. That's what I keep saying. I'm like, how? And Colleen seemed like she was such a fucking nice girl.
Right.
Like, why pick her out of everyone?
And I know that was a long time ago, but at the same time, if you have a friend, male or female, that reaches out to you and they feel unsafe, take them seriously.
Yes. See something, say something.
Like, yes. You would rather overreact than underreact.
Exactly.
You can make a big deal of it, and then in a week she says, oh my gosh, I was just being dramatic, I'm so sorry. And then you're like, you know what? That's fine. We were just making sure.
Yeah.
But if somebody says something to you, please. And if somebody tells you that they're going to kill someone,
believe them.
Yes, believe them. And please tell someone immediately, because the next day they might show up with that person's skull in their pocket.
I know this is a shorter one, guys, but you've gotten some longer ones this month. So love you, meet it. You'll get longer ones next month, too.
Bye, guys.
Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.